May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable unto you, O God, our strength and redeemer. Amen. Snake stories. When I was a teenager, I had a boyfriend for a while who was training to be a wool classer. He loved to tell snake stories he'd heard. My mother said, "He's all right, but don't marry him." Today we have a snake story that Jesus knew and used in his teaching. And today we are moving towards his cross, towards Easter. Wayne has been taking us on the way of love in this journey. And so far we have had turn and learn, pray and worship. The next part is bless. Most Australians consider snakes a curse, not a blessing. A good snake is a dead one. Fear grabs a shovel. I heard a talk just recently by two local academics that are doing some original research into the behaviour of our local eastern brown. They say that snakes are more afraid of us and just want to get away from us. And then just last week on Catalyst, other scientists are researching venom from snakes, spiders and that jellyfish. And there may be new medicines in there turning a curse into a blessing. God's creation is amazing. In the story, Moses' leadership rating is very low. The people he is leading from slavery to freedom have become impatient with the wilderness, with the food, and with the lack of water. They complain constantly. Criticism deflates leaders. The people could not trust God for their current needs or their future life. The Lord sent poison serpents among them who bit them, and some died. They interpreted this as God's punishment. They repented and begged Moses to have a mediation session with God to get the servants removed. Moses prayed and God replied. But funny how God's reply is not always exactly what we want. Moses made a bronze serpent and raised it on a pole to be visible. But the serpents were still there and alive. But if you were bitten, you could exercise faith. Look up at the pole and not die. You had to choose to look at it. It wasn't the symbolic serpent that healed them. It was not an idol to worship, but belief in God that healed them. Jesus said he too must be lifted up, as we know on a cross, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. The curse of serpents was turned into a blessing. The curse of crucifixion was turned into the greatest blessing the world has ever received. The fear and shame of the cross enabled God to defeat the power of death and sin. And it enabled the Spirit of love to dwell with us every day. What do we do to deserve this? Nothing. Just turn, learn, pray, and choose to look at Jesus. Then worship is one of the ways to keep our faith alive. God did not send Jesus, his Son, here to condemn the world, but to save it. Believe and you are totally forgiven for not believing before. Back for a moment to that serpent on a pole or staff. Doctors used to put a metal badge on their bumper bars, remember? I think bumper bars have changed as well as doctors. It's the symbol of a healing profession. These symbols appear on letterheads too, and they are not all the same. There is some confusion and disagreement by some medical associations throughout the world. One has a single serpent entwined on a staff like the one Moses made. Another has twin snakes round the staff plus two wings. This is the wand of the Greek god Hermes or Mercury. On with the way of love for us. Bless. To bless is to share the blessing we receive from God and be a blessing to others. Some of you sang a song as a child about showers of blessing. The phrase is from the prophet Ezekiel 34:26. When someone sneezes, it is easy to say, bless you. If you are feeling down, the advice is to count your blessings. That's all right for some people. I have found it doesn't really do me any good. Maybe some of you have too. There are three meanings for bless in the Bible, and all three are in one verse, Genesis 14:19. A, God blesses you, a blessing of God's goodness, favour, a gift, a reward in the future, prosperity. B, you bless God in your worship, in praise, in giving thanks. The Holy Communion service reminds us that Jesus blessed the bread at his Last Supper. And see, other people bless you and you bless others. You invoke the blessing of God upon someone. Officially, this Anglican church decrees that only priests can say a formal blessing, not a deacon like Anne. But really, I'm sure you do bless others all the time in many ways. Practically, emotionally, spiritually. You bring healing, joy, comfort, hope. Keep doing it. Let's become more aware and active in blessing others on our path of love to this Easter. One suggestion for the coming week is to invoke God's blessing on everyone and everything you pray for. Now, you may be a spontaneous prayer, or you may have daily intercession times. Bring the word bless in. For example, Lord bless X, or bless Y with. And do it with every case. And then if you hear something good after that, you know that they were blessed. And in hearing it, you too will feel blessed. Finally, let us not miss that great reading we heard from the letter to the Ephesians. It strengthens the teaching we had in John's Gospel. It starts by reminding the group in Ephesus how they and Paul himself used to live lives of desires of the flesh, of being disobedient, of following other powers and ways, and so being spiritually dead. But it says, God, rich in mercy, who loved them even then, saved them. Now they are no longer spiritually dead, they are alive in Christ. And this is not their own doing, no, it is the gift of God. By grace they have been saved. Grace here means an undeserved gift or blessing. Good works or good behaviour cannot earn it, and so everyone has an equal chance to be saved, no matter who they are. Everyone. And then he repeats, by grace you have been saved through faith. This is the message for today's people still and always will be. Show a little bit of faith in Jesus, and God will pour his love into your heart. When we realise what a gift we've been given through Jesus, we start to want to carry on the good works he started on earth. God bless you.